absolutely great day today. I teach early in the morning for the challenge of it, and I like Monday night classes because they're a challenge. I wish you could just see what I see. I see a lot of people that have sort of Missouri look about them. It's like, prove it. Show me. And that's normal on Monday nights. I like Monday nights. I'm gonna get to it. Don't worry. I'm getting that direction. On the speaker like I did last night. It'll wake everybody up.
See, there we go. Okay. I said some things last night that I didn't finish. I don't know if you know any of that. At least one lady was listening last night and said, tell the rest of the story. And I wasn't mean. I thought about saying, come back. You want to hear the rest of the story? Okay. Well, I said something else last night that I want to tell you about too. I made a statement. I said that I'm broken and I don't want to become unbroken. And I didn't explain that, and I will explain that, particularly on the fourth message. But I want to explain it a little bit tonight because it's a part of why I had such a good day today. I'm just so blessed I can't hardly contain it. And so are you. We're alive today. There's a lot of things I take for granted that being broken to pieces physically helped me not to take those things for granted. Now, I'm going to walk by a speaker in a second, so I'm just warning you. Okay. Just look, guys. I can walk. Watch this. This is awesome. I can't even jump. I'm away from the speaker now. You say, that's just normal. No, it's not. We're in a fallen world. We gave this world over to Satan. Our great, 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 had a bunch of greats in there. Grandparents gave this place over. There's the ruler of this age who is the deceiver of this age. And he would love to destroy us. And it is the pure grace of God that you and I can think consciously tonight and can hear about Christ tonight. And the fact that I can walk tonight is nothing but God's grace, nothing but God's goodness. I walked for an hour today. Now, for those of you that saw me and thought I was lost, I really wasn't. I was walking around in circles, that's true. But I was walking because I like to walk for an hour to stay in halfway good health because I work with college students and their bodies have not gotten to the point of 40 yet. And 40 was a long time ago for me. And so I have to just work to do stuff that for them they don't even think about, like running up steps. I can run up steps as long as I don't take too much time off, as long as I keep walking consistently. I can do that without any trouble. I can probably run the whole distance, but you'll think I'm walking because I run that slow. Okay? Today was a beautiful day. And you guys live in a beautiful state. All you got to do is go out here to the road and turn left or right. It doesn't matter. And just start walking. And this place is gorgeous. Man, I just had a blessing walking down to the next intersection down there, and then I walked back, and then I walked around the campground, and then I walked back down, and then I started walking down there, and it was getting dark, and I didn't want to get hit by a car, and so I turned around, and I came back, and I walked back around again, and that was just a beautiful day. Now, I'd like for you to walk just for a little bit, okay? I want you to walk for two reasons. Number one, what's the next county to the, what is this county? What's the next county? Say that again. Crawford? Did I say that right? Crawford County? The people in at least the back six rows are in Crawford County. At least they feel that way to me. I mean, I feel like there's a county between us. I got to run back there to even see you. So we got lots of free seats in the front. I would love it if you guys would do what I just did and just actually think about it. Just as you're doing it, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are allowing me to do something that's very complicated. I could get all sorts of nerves and muscles. You say, it's not that complicated. You haven't had trouble. Not with your legs. It's very complicated. I had to learn how to do all of that again. And after you're in braces for a long time, and you don't realize it, but even your feet don't do heel toe. Heel toe is what I do now pretty much without thinking about it. Unless this leg over here forgets, and then I go, okay, but I had to learn to do that again. So I've been broken, and I know the fact that when people go into Walmart and they pull into the handicap area, that's not unusual. What's unusual is that all of us don't need handicap parking. I was broken long enough to realize God doesn't have to protect us like he does. The enemy would like to do away with us. God doesn't have to protect us like he does. It is his mercy and his grace that allows us to sit up, take nourishment, and man, the nourishment has been good at this camp. I'm telling you, you got some cooks around here. I had a little meatloaf tonight. That thing was, it was awesome. It was fantastic. And I've had great stuff every meal. So if you guys will just humor me, and I'll quit. I'll quit before time tonight. I always promise my classes, if you'll come front, you can ask people that go to school with me. If you'll sit up near the front, and if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'm not going to ask you to do many things, but if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll let you out early. Okay? So let's try that. Stand up, do a little bit of walking, come toward the front. God has already been preaching a message. Okay, now wherever you sit, you need to be with in groups of three or four. We're going to do a little bit of that tonight. Not a lot, but a little bit. Need to be in groups of three or four. I'm not going to give an invitation at the end, I don't think. I'm going to give an invitation twice in the middle. Okay, so three or four. Okay. Here's some things that I learned by going through hard times. In 1995, I was driving down the road in Dominican Republic. There was a truck passing another truck in front of us, but I couldn't see it because there was a big banana truck right in front of me, a white Daihatsu flatbed loaded with bananas. I couldn't see around him. I saw him flashing his lights, and I said, hey, there must be something up ahead of us. And all of a sudden, he veered off the side. He had waited until the last minute, he veered off the side. In fact, he waited so long that the truck that was passing, and they were going three wide on a two-lane road, the truck that was passing in the middle actually hit the side of the truck, and there were bananas flying everywhere, but he didn't hit it enough to slow down. He was doing about 80 miles an hour. We were doing about 70 miles per hour. The guy in the 1, 2, 3, 4th seat with blue jeans on and a gray jacket on. What's your name? Dave? Whatever you just said. I just repeated that. Where he is sitting, that's where I saw the truck. It was in my lane. He was doing 80. I'm doing 70. No way. You can't get out of the way. There's not time. I saw him. I said, KSSO, and it, and we hit. We went backwards. I remember my jaw hitting the steering column, and I remembered feeling my face pull apart. And I remember thinking, I died right here in the Dominican Republic. You know what I thought? Now, you should listen to what they said tonight. You should listen. You know what? It was a real peaceful thought that came across my mind when I went unconscious. I am so glad I followed God. I'm so glad I followed God. Now, you don't have to go to some other place to follow God. Follow God tonight. Do what Mary told the people to do when he was going to turn water into wine. Whatever he says to you, do it. Okay, if he tells you to do handstands, now he's not going to tell you to do that, so don't do it. That crowd in the back, I can tell you guys are liable to do handstands, but just hang on and don't do it. Okay, here's some things that I learned through going through that. I'm terminal. I just haven't gotten ill. You've heard of terminally ill? Now, I got to tell you, I just don't like flying planes that land at terminals. I've always thought they should change the name of those places, you know, especially Erie. Now, we had an Erie landing, and you can say that both ways, okay? We landed in Erie, and we were in a prop plane, and we were doing this number. You ever done that in a prop plane going into Erie? We were doing this number, and boom, boom, we were bouncing all over the place, and we landed. And I just about sang the Hallelujah chorus. I'm telling you, I was happy when we hit that ground. I said, praise the Lord, we got down. And I looked over at the lady beside me, and she had her eyes about this big. And I said, there is a reason they invented jets. Oh, man. Wow. Whew. I was thankful. I'm terminal, but I haven't gotten ill. Another thing that I learned, I only have today. And that's all you've got. And it is a complete falsehood to think you got any more than that. I'm not scolding us. I'm just telling you. Now, there's a good side of that, and there's a bad side of that. If you're suffering today, I got news for you. You only got today. And that you can find rest in that. You can find peace in that. If you're in pain, you've only got today. You only got to make it through today. You say, I can't take this for 10 more days. You don't have 10 more days. You got today. Tomorrow, you got another day. Just take it one day at a time. And I've only got today to live for Jesus. Oh, I've tried to be faithful to Jesus so hard. That's because you're trying too many days at a time. Just do one day at a time. Just live for Jesus all day today. Go to bed and say, "Woo, this was a good one." I learned to do that because all I was doing was getting up and I couldn't even get out of bed. I was laying in the same bed day after day after day. And I had to figure out how can I make it through the day and be joyful. I thought biblically, I only got today. That's out of the book of Hebrews. I want to be fully surrendered today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I want to be, God, I give you everything I got. If you haven't figured out that what God's talking to all of us about tonight, he had told me that this morning. No matter how early you think I was up, it was earlier than that. I don't know why, but I was up early praying about tonight, and he told me, surrender, surrender. You got to talk about surrender. What'd they talk about? Surrender. What were the songs about? Surrender. Everything we've talked about is that God is so good, you should trust him with everything you've got. Surrender. You say, well, I'm thinking about doing that tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You don't. I know you got all sorts of things planned tomorrow. It's on the calendar, but you only got right now. Surrender. Those are some of the things that going through major trial taught me. Also taught me to appreciate life today. Have a dessert every once in a while, unless your sugar's bad. Appreciate life today. Have you seen how many really nice people there are on this campus? I can't remember half their names, but I'm writing them down. Okay? I got a whole list of really nice. I'm encouraged to meet so many nice people. This is great. God is good. His will, we read it, his will is good. You say, well, of course, he's good. You got to get that next adjective. His word, his will is pleasing. If you'll follow him, I know this sounds almost heretical. If you'll follow God, you'll like it. Oh, but it's all going to be suffering. Yeah, some of it's suffering. But in the middle of all that suffering, you'll still like what you're doing. And you'll like who God lets you do it with. Okay. Now let's finish some other questions that the screen hopefully is up. One of the questions that you had was, did you find a snake? Is that one of the questions that you had? yes and no, unfortunately. I wish I could give you a clear answer on that, but let me tell you that, first of all, Debbie called Animal Control on Memorial Day, and she got a recording and said, we are closed, it's Memorial Day. If this is an animal emergency, call the sheriff's department. So she had to think about that. Okay, do I want the sheriff's department bringing guns into my house with a snake loose? This could be exciting. And she said, if it's my vote, this is an animal emergency. I want that snake out of my house. So the sheriff came with my son, and they found the snake. They wrestled with it for a while, got it into a large garbage can, carried it a mile away, and turned it loose. If I had that all to do over again, I would have carried it to Pennsylvania and turned it loose. Yeah. No, Ohio. I'm sorry. I wasn't right. Ohio. Okay. I got home, and I searched for snakes everywhere. I ran the weed eater 10 feet out from my house. I cut everything, every shrub, everything that was within close vicinity of my house. I trimmed everything down. I went to Walmart and bought, and if you haven't seen it, it's there, snake repellent. It's chopped up mothballs, I think. Anyway, I threw it every direction. I bought like 6 cans of the stuff. I went all around the house. You can tell where we live a block away. Okay? I said, look, the snakes are attacking my wife. This is not going to happen. And then we've got a 2-story house, but the front of it is just 1-story, and there's a crawl space underneath it. And I figured out, I'm quite sure I know where those snakes came from. They came through around where the air ducts go through, the heating ducts go through between the crawl space and the basement. And that's how they got into the basement, that one got into the basement. And so the crawl space is only about that, and it's dark. So I bought 2 lights, 1 for each hand. And I put on a hoodie, and I crawled into the crawl space, and I threw all sorts of snake repellent around. I took a rake, and I raked every inch of that crawl space. I looked for snakes. I tried everything I could to find snakes. I couldn't find any snakes. I looked and looked and looked. I couldn't find any snakes. I found 1 skin about 5 feet long. Okay. So I climbed back out of there. I set off 3 in insect bombs. I said, I got to make the snake very uncomfortable. I set off 3 insect bombs, you know, those whoosh, and put out rat poison, and because I thought they're eating something, I'm going to get rid of these snakes. And I climbed out of there. I closed it up. There's a little door about this big. Closed it up. I was at peace. Beginning of June. No more snakes. Yay. What a great husband. Woohoo! A victory. Mark one up for John. Well, it's not that. Life's just not that simple. We had our house appraised this last week. We have a second mortgage that's coming due, and we're refinancing it, and it's all good, and everything's great. But the appraiser really didn't want to climb underneath there. And so he asked me, what's the measurement underneath there? And so I said, not a problem. I'll go underneath there and check. Okay? This was Monday of this week. I opened the door. And I said to myself, right out loud, I said, you gotta be kidding. There's blocks on this side and blocks on that side, and there's a snake skin stretched from block to block across the entrance of the crawl space. I said, you gotta be kidding. After all that, it's a fresh one. It's a new one. It's one that wasn't there when I crawled out. So I went back and did the same thing again. I cleaned the whole thing. I put out more poison. That's why I say, all you got to do is get to the state line in Georgia. You just go, Penland's, they're right over that direction. Okay? Snake skins. I want us tonight to move from shock to search. And I don't want us to get rattled.
You know, people do crazy things when you get rattled. Have you ever gotten rattled? You ever gotten rattled? You ever done anything like really crazy when you got rattled? Any of you got some crazy stories? Okay. Things people lost when they were rattled. This is from Uber's website. They've done a study on all across the United States of people that are calling Uber cars, getting picked up, things they get rattled and they leave them in the cars. Number one is cell phone. Number two is rings. Number four is wallets. Number five is glasses. I want your group to come up with number three. See what you guys think. That was pretty easy. Keys. Okay, they leave their keys in a car and the car goes off. And if they don't have some identification, they take up three or four more rides. They don't know who to give those keys back to. Now, I'll bet you don't get this next one, because I knew somebody was going to say keys. I just knew it. There's always somebody that says keys. These are unusual things that people leave behind when they get rattled in Uber vehicles. Walking poles. Now, that's really not something that you would normally assume that a person would leave behind if they're going to get a car, that they would have walking sticks, that they would leave. That's not something. Paintings. Paychecks. A guitar. Well, maybe. I am very sure you will not guess number three. I challenge your groups, huh? Okay, you ready? I got this stuff right here. I got it in the notebook. A lobster. It did not tell whether it was a cooked lobster or a live lobster. I hope it was a live lobster. Wouldn't that be great to be a driver and all of a sudden something's grabbing the back of your foot? Somebody left a lobster in your... Oh, man. Wow. Snakeskins. You know, snakeskins can sort of play on your mind if you let them. They will. It's sort of play on your mind. Where's he at now? What's he doing? I'm a human. It plays on my mind. I called Debbie this morning early. You didn't see any snakes yesterday, did you? No, everything's fine. Oh, wonderful. I'm going to keep praying that he shows up when I'm around and I have something large and sharp in my hand. God's word, the sword. No. Snakeskins can create a state of fear. They can create ongoing anxiety. They can even get you so agitated that you'll end up being mean to people. And you just can't rest. And the enemy knows us. And he'll leave his snakeskins around. Just often enough to where you'll think you've gotten that victory over that and it'll show up again. Anybody say amen? You say, Lord, sometimes I just feel like the prayer ought to be ditto. Once again, he leaves his snakeskins around. He tries to beat you down with them. He tries to get you anxious, or he tries to get you to live in fear, or he tries to humiliate you through anger outburst, or he gets you to where you just can't rest because you're just all the time upset, or there's something else that Scripture tells us to do. Now, you're going to see these passages in a new light if you see what the options are. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Don't get afraid about them. Don't get anxious. Don't get angry. Don't lose your peace. Count them joy. Why? Because of everything we sang tonight. Because the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
If you wanted to write it down, you'd have to take a scroll and stretch it from sky to sky, and it still wouldn't be enough room. He loves each of us that much. And he says, look, if you'll surrender to me, Paul would say, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If you'll surrender to me, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry. Just live it one day at a time. You'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You'll enter into eternity. Christ will be honored. And as he is honored, you as a part of his body will be honored. Isn't that what we want? Surrender. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Let's stand for God's word. Let's stand. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. It's like trying to drive and read a text at the same time. Can't do it. Just because you have done it, the rest of us are thankful that you didn't hit us, because you can't keep up with both things at the same time. Double-minded. Let's just ask the Lord to speak. Lord, as we finish this message tonight, I pray that you would speak. Help me to speak clearly and be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that shock doesn't have to lead us to despair. Shock doesn't have to lead us to lose our peace. Shock doesn't have to lead us to fear and anxiety. Shock can lead us to search. James 10. I've got the article here that, if you haven't read it, it's a great article to read. It's out of Christianity Today, 2017, and it says, "A Walking Disaster: How a Hurricane Helped Me Weather My Battle with Cancer." And he outlines a part of what we are looking at this week as a response pattern for personal crisis, and also one that works in helping people that have gone through natural disaster, because that's his work. He works in helping people recover from natural disaster. But he says the same things that you do to help a community recover are the things that you need to do when you're going through a trial yourself. And you say, did you build this from what he said? No, I was already preaching through this series, and I read this, and I said, this is what I'm preaching. And so I liked what he had to say. Here's some quotes from him. In disaster relief, the search process is vital. The same is true in personal disaster. Searching for survivors is what you do in a relief situation. Searching for meaning is what you do when you're facing a trial, and it's vital. It's very important. He interviewed a person that had been through Hurricane Sandy in 2012. And that person was searching for meaning. And that person said, who had just had the top of their roof blown off, said, well, sometimes you have to lose a roof to see the stars. He was talking about things we take for granted all the time, that we're so busy that we don't enjoy the things that are there that we should be thankful for, like walking, like a good meal, like being with family, like being able to be at camp. And so we're going to focus here on search, but he says the other steps that you go through are surrender, that's number three, and then he would take four, five, and six, and he would say making yourself vulnerable to community, that you're going to have to work together. And I would say that that is a major part of what we do with church, is that we begin to become vulnerable to community. And that's why I know I made some of you maybe all of you, I don't know. Some of you uncomfortable last night when we got into small groups because you become vulnerable in a small group. It's not easy to hide in a small group. It's like there's just me and three other people in this group. Now, I will give you permission to just listen in your small group. If you're a person that's shy and you don't want to talk, just listen. Okay? You can give hand signals if you want to. If you like it, you can go. If you don't like it, you can go. If you're sort of in between, you can go. They can sort of judge where you're at. You know, so that's what we're going to take a look at search tonight. The best place to start searching is at the beginning. And one of the best things that Christians can do, now listen, this is important, because a lot of times we think the gospel is for people that don't know Jesus. It's not for me. I know Jesus. The gospel is for us too. It's really good to understand the gospel. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 15 gave us a great way to understand the gospel. He said that people are lost in three ways. Now, in order to get to Luke chapter 15 in the Bible, you've got to go through the Old Testament. And when you get to Isaiah and other locations, you find out that the angels are around the throne of God. And what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy. A three times holy God loves a three times lost humanity. And a three times holy God is able to save a three times lost humanity. That's the message of Luke 15. Now it starts out with the story of a lost sheep. And it sort of gives us an idea about the way some people show their lostness. It's just one bite after another. They didn't mean to get out of the fence. They just had their head down and they were chewing. And they were chewing, and the grass was really good. And they were chewing, and they were chewing, and the grass, it was just really good outside the fence, they noticed. And they were chewing, and they were chewing. And before long, all of their safety and all of their protection and everything the shepherd was doing for them was gone. In fact, they couldn't even see the shepherd. And they didn't know where the shepherd was. And they were all by themselves. And some people are lost like a sheep, one decision after another, without realizing they are becoming farther and farther distance from God. But the Bible tells us that this three times holy God is able to save a three times lost humanity, because the Son is the good shepherd, and he goes and he finds the sheep. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and found you? And if he hasn't come and found you, let me let you know he is standing at the door of your life today. If your name is Bob, he says, Bob, let me in. I got good plans for us. Life's going to get a lot better than you ever dreamed, because my way, if you'll surrender to me, is good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. Give me your life. He's the good shepherd. But now other people are lost in a different way. And actually, we're all lost in all three of these ways. Other people are lost like a coin. Now, the idea is that this coin was probably part of a wedding gift. It may have been a band that was worn, or it may have been a dowry that was given. But the idea is sort of that it was part of a wedding gift, and that's why this lady, when she finds that she's lost a coin, she takes her broom out and moves the furniture and sweeps the whole house, because she goes, goodness, that's precious to me. I've lost the coin. Now, when you think about the coin... really didn't have a whole lot of choice. It just was lost. Now, there is something good about learning another language. I have no idea about Arabic or any of those languages, but in Spanish, I was looking all of my life for a way to tell my dad that things happened without me causing it, and I just didn't have it in English. In English, if I had told my dad, the milk spilled itself, you try that sometime, okay? The milk spilled itself. No, the milk didn't spill itself. You spilled the milk. I didn't mean to. It doesn't matter. You spilled the milk. I remember as a kid, my arm was growing so fast, I'd spill it on a regular basis. finally got to Latin America. I was about 30 years old, got to Latin America, and they taught me that in Spanish you say, se me botó el vaso. The vase spilled itself to me. I said, finally, but I was too old. I was 30 years old. I should have learned it as a kid. Man, that would have been a big help. Well, the coin would sort of say this. I'm lost. I don't know who I belong to. I don't even know that I have an owner. I'm lost. A lot of people are lost like that. And God uses his broom. The Holy Spirit puts his hands around the church and begins to sweep all over the world and begins to look for coins that are lost. A part of what his has to be in place for the wedding to take place, the wedding banquet, a part of the wedding gift. The bride is being prepared, and there's a coin. And there's a coin. And we heard the testimony of coin after coin after coin. And if you haven't become a part of Christ's family, the Holy Spirit is sweeping with the church looking for you. And if you have become a part of Christ's family, don't you realize that he's really happy to have you back in his possession? And he doesn't want to lose you again. He's working. He's got you wrapped up close. He's holding you tight. A third way that people are lost is that they're lost like a son. Now, the prodigal son was lost because he chose to be lost. He went to his father and he said, Dad, I'm tired of being here. I want my inheritance. I want to go live the way I want to live. I want to do my own thing. And his father said, Son, are you sure about this? Yeah, I'm sure about this. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own life. You're not going to tell me what to do. And the prodigal left. And he went out and he spent his inheritance in ways that would not have pleased his father. And you say, well, his dad must have been mad. No, his dad was brokenhearted. His dad waited, it says. And finally, the prodigal came to his senses, and his dad saw him a long way off. Didn't you see the dad standing on the front porch saying, maybe it'll be today. Maybe he'll come walking down that road today. I still love that boy. And he saw him. And he said, hey, we're going to have a party because my son's coming home. A three-time holy God knows how to save three times holy or lost people. But you know, sometimes it's not enough to know that. In the Dominican Republic, I used to tell this to guys like Tony. Let me tell you just a little bit about Tony. Let me hold on here just a second and change something here. Okay, good. I was checking on what time it was. I'm in good shape. You're in good shape. It's not going to be long, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to go by the speaker. No, I think people in the back are not going to see, so I'm going to stay right here. Okay, so whose coffee mug is this? It's a blue one. Can I use it as a prop? I'm not going to break it. But you'll see that it should be broken, but I'm not going to break it. In the Dominican Republic, Dominican men a lot of times think that church is for really bad men and women. It's just what they think. And I used to go and visit Tony, because Alba came to church, and I would go and visit Tony, and Tony was a weightlifter, and I'm not, okay? But I would go to the gym and watch. He was a serious weightlifter, and he was one of these guys that when he lifted bench press, you could actually watch the bar flex. You know what I'm talking about? He's one of those guys that had like 1, 2, 3, I don't know how many, a big set of them, and the bar would actually flex, you know, and I, me and four others like me couldn't have spotted him, okay, couldn't have tried to lift those weights with him. He was strong. I remember I'd go to his house. I went to the Y and joined the Y just to be around him, and I went to his house one day, and I was talking to him, just trying to get him to come to church, whatever. I was telling him about what the gospel was, about, you know, that people are lost, and they need to be found, And he said, John, I think what you're doing is awesome. And he said, I think what God's going to do is he's going to weigh the good and the bad, And he said, there are a few bad things that I've got in my life. I admit that. He said, sometimes I'm mean, and I'm not real mean, but sometimes I am, and sometimes I gamble, and there's different things I do that my wife tells me, whatever. It might be a few things. But he said, I'm a good man. He said, I'm faithful to this woman, and I let her go to church, and I give money for the offering from time to time, and I let my kids go. I trust you with my family. He said, I'm a good man. And I think God's gonna say, okay, he's got one or two or three bad things over there, but he's got like 1,000 good things, and he's going to weigh it out, and he's going to say, Tony, you did well. I went home just praying. I said, God, you got to give me some way to break through to Tony. I don't have any way to break through to Tony. Goodness. And he was nice about it. He said, now, you see that guy? We were sitting on the front porch. He said, you see that guy down there? Yeah. He said, now, that's a bad man. He named several things that man did. He said, I'll introduce you to him. He needs Jesus. Okay. I said, well, let me visit you one more time, and then we'll go down and visit him. But I went back to my office, went back home, and I said, oh, God, what can I do? You ever felt like, why did they send me? I don't know what to do. You ever feel that way when you're witnessing? Well, just ask God to help you. And I just got the idea that I should tell him a story. So I made up a story. I made up a parable. Okay? I said, Tony, I said, I got a story I want to tell you. I went up back to his house. I said, I got a story I want to tell you. And let's just imagine, Tony, that it's early in the morning. I got up to get the newspaper. And my wife started fixing coffee for me. And she brought me out a cup of coffee. And just imagine, Tony, you've been in my house. You know that I can see her working in the kitchen because we got a great big open space there. And the phone rang just as she was getting ready to bring me coffee. Now, Tony, you know that she had fixed the coffee just like I like it. Now, this is going to sound a little macho, but it's in the culture of where I was living. So, okay, so she's fixing me this coffee, and it's the right coffee. It's Café Santo Domingo. It's really good stuff. And she's put just the right amount of cream in it. And just as she gets ready to put the sugar in, the phone rings, and she turns and goes to the phone, which she had to turn her back on where the coffee was on the counter. And above the counter, there are cabinets. And above the cabinets, there's space between the cabinets and the ceiling because they make Dominican houses like that because you have high ceilings because it's hot and there's no AC. And so you get the heat off of you that way, and you have a ceiling fan. And so there's a space probably 4 feet or 3 feet between the top of the cabinet and the... I said, Tony, we got rats sometimes that get in our house. Now, we do. In the Dominican Republic, they got rats. Okay? They came from Europe, most of them. On way back in the colonial period, they're wharf rats, and they get big, and they can chew through steel. You just can't keep them out. They'll chew. You'll see. They'll chew right through your screens. So I said, just imagine, Tony, that there's a rat and he's on top of the counter. Now, that is not a big stretch of the imagination where we lived, because that can happen. I got more rat stories than I got snake stories, but we're going to leave that alone. Okay? Imagine that also, Tony, that my wife and I have put out Tres Pasitos. Now, Tres Pasitos, if you want to look it up, it is an absolute horrible poison. It's called the Three Little Steps. Tres Pasitos. What that means is, when a rat eats it, he's got about three little steps left. And you can look it up in University of... I think I looked it up in Oregon. University of Oregon does all sorts of studies on it because Dominicans bring it into the country, or sometimes it comes in from Colombia, and it has a poison that is lethal, and it looks like sugar. And so it's super dangerous. And so what that means is this rat's going across there, and it's getting ready to eat this powder, this Tres Pasitos. But I said, Tony, this is a fast rat, and he just goes by there, and I watch this white powder go down, and it enters this open cup. Let's say this cup's open. It enters my coffee. And Tony freaked out. As soon as he freaked, I said, got him. Tony freaked out. Tony said, John, I don't like this story. You know how many Dominicans have died by people poisoning them with, you can't taste it. I said, Tony, just stick with me. I said, now imagine that my wife finishes the phone call and she turns around. She doesn't know any of this has happened. She puts just the right amount of sugar and she comes and she brings me the cup of coffee and she comes and she hands it to me. And as I extended my hand like this, Tony started crawling back in his chair. And he said, John, you can't, don't even touch that cup. Break the cup. Take it outside with a hammer and break it to where nobody can ever touch it again. I said, why, Tony? He said, there's death in that cup. Tres pasitos will kill anything. There is death in that cup. I said, well, let's just imagine that my wife says to me, she sees that I'm a little bit nervous about taking that coffee cup, and she says, now, honey, what's wrong? And I said, now, look, that coffee, while you weren't watching, tres pasitos fell into that coffee. Let's just imagine that my wife said to me, now, honey, that's just one bad thing. It's just one. But it was made with love. That's a good thing. And it was made with pure water. And it was made with Café Santo Domingo, coffee from Santo Domingo. And it has the right amount of cream in it. And it has the right amount of sugar in it. And it has, this is your favorite cup. So that's six things. And there's only one bad thing, so you should drink it. And Tony said, he said, John, I don't like this story. And he said under his breath, que asesina. He said, what an assassin. He's talking about my wife. I said, well, what's the problem with the story? He said, there is death in that cup. Don't you get it? Go get a hammer. Break that cup to pieces. You can never use it again. I said, you know what the Bible says about us? The wages of sin is death. I said, last time I came here, you talked about when you're going to stand before God and there's going to be one or two or three things that might be a little bad, but there's going to be 1,000 good things. I said, those sins have tres pasitos in them. Tony's eyes got big. He said, you mean when God looks at me, I look like that cup? I said, yeah. He said, then it's hopeless. You'll just have to break me and ruin me. You'll just have to throw me away. I'll never be able to do enough good. I said, no, that's the truth. But God, in his love, sent his son. And listen to what some other verses say, Tony. Don't miss these. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all of the tres pasitos. I said, God can clean you so well that that cup can become useful again. He doesn't have to break the cup. He said, I don't understand. How can he do that? I said, because he broke his son. He took his son and they made him hold on to a low piece of wood. And they took striping material, a cat of nine tails that had long pieces of cowhide. And there were pieces of pottery at the end of that cowhide. And they had a big Roman man stand there. And he took that and he took it across his back. And then he pulled it like this. And it stripped the skin off of his back. And he did that 39 times. He didn't want to kill him. But he wanted him to be completely disfigured for the rest of his life. And then they took him out after they had beaten him on top of the head. And he was so weak that he couldn't carry his cross. So you just think about this, Tony. The Creator loved you so much that he wanted to identify with you. I said, Tony, right now, you can carry a cross pretty well. I mean, I've seen you lift a whole lot more than a cross at the gym. But The Creator was willing to become so weak for you that he fell beneath his cross. And what that means, Tony, is the next time that you're trying, if you try to follow God and you have trouble, is that you have somebody that will understand you for the rest of your life, because he knows what it is to try to carry his cross and not be able to do it. They had to get another man to help him, and they carried his cross. And he was crucified between two thieves, and he died, and the cup was broken for you and for me. Tony was quite shaken. He didn't pray to receive Christ then, but about a month and a half later, he prayed to receive Christ. He became an elder in our church. He understood the gospel. How about us? I've got more message, but that's as far as I'm going tonight. How about us? Have you recently just taken time to say, Jesus, it was impossible for me to be saved. It wasn't possible. And you came, and you died for me. In our small groups, why don't just one or two people in that group lead out in prayer and just thanking the Lord for coming and taking on our trespasitos, our poison? He became sin for us. That's what it says. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be given the righteousness of God in him. It was impossible for us to ever have salvation. But he gave us salvation, and he tells us to receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. Have you thanked God for that recently? Sometimes God has to tear off the roof so you can see the stars. Sometimes he has to use a simple message of the gospel to get us to realize how rich we are with things that we just take for granted all the time. So if you do that just for a minute or two, get in your groups, pray. Somebody lead out in prayer just thanking God for the gospel. And then I'll have one more suggestion, and then we'll close. I was about 20 years old. I had heard the gospel many times, many, many times, but I wasn't completely sure that I had really come to know Christ. I had made a decision as a child, but I just wasn't sure. And so I went forward at a meeting, just like a meeting like this, and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't know if I know you or not, but I just want to drive up sort of a definite decision tonight. I want you to know that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that he died for us. And I believe that he rose again. And I want him to have my life. It was just that simple. It was a prayer of surrender. It was just that simple. I would encourage us, as with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone here this evening that would have doubt, and my guess is there are people here that have doubt, say, well, I've been really religious, but I don't know if I have that special relationship with God, born again. You don't have to know. What you have to do is to just stop. You've got today and surrender and say to the Lord in your heart, I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. And I believe that he died for us. And I believe that he rose again. And I come to him in repentance. I turn from trying to do my own thing, and I surrender to him. I ask him to take my life. I know he will. And I yield my life to him as best I know how. If anyone has done that in your small group, you don't have to say it loudly. And if you don't want to say it in your small group, you can tell me later or tell somebody else later. But in your small group, just lean over to somebody and say, I prayed that. I did that. Because that's what I did. I did that, and then I started reading my Bible. And the Lord led me to Psalm 27. And right in the middle of that psalm, it says, my heart has said within me, your face, Lord, I will seek. And I said, that verse is for me. I've got to take that as a special verse. You can't go wrong surrendering to God. I've done it. He leads you from one surrender to another surrender to another surrender. And it's all good. I was 20 years old. I was pretty young. I met this girl that was 21. She was an upperclassman. We got to talking, and she told me about her life verse. It was in Psalm 27. It was that she had told God, your face, Lord, will I seek. I said, no way. That's my verse. Well, it's our verse. We've been married 39 years now. Got 10 grandkids. I told you, you serve God, it's pleasing. I still am amazed that she loves me. I'm married up. Yeah. You're not going to go wrong by trusting Christ. You're not going to go wrong by surrendering to Him. He does love you. Let me close this in just a moment of prayer. Lord, I hope, I know for me, it's been good for me to be in the house of the Lord, just to think about your kindness and your goodness. And Lord, I pray Romans 12 over us, in view of the mercies of God, looking at what Jesus has done for us, looking at what the Father did when He turned away from the Son and would not look on our sin. Unbelievable. Looking at what the Spirit does when He comes and He enters our lives and begins the regenerating work of giving us life. Unbelievable. In view of the mercies of God, help us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. That certainly is our reasonable act of worship. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can experience God's will, that it's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. Lord, if there's anyone this evening that's still at the point of surrender, help them to surrender. Help them to yield their life into the hands of a very loving Father, into the hands of the Good Shepherd, into the hands of the Holy Spirit who is sweeping, looking for lost coins. If there are people here that know you but need to surrender to a deeper level, if I'm one of those people, speak to us, Lord. Help us to fully yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen.